The same Jesus.
Welcome to my world. It's a strange place. How we doing today, guys? Am I really loud or is it just me? Just me, okay. Trying to keep everything good. I don't want anybody throwing anything at me, right, Barb? Amen. Praise the Lord. It's coming. That's what she tells me. Glad you guys could make it here. We're going to have this is a graduation Sunday. We have one graduate here, Morgan. Praise the Lord. We're going to address that a little bit after, talk a little bit about the Lord. But first, let's go to the Lord in prayer, and let's just see what He has for us this morning. Father, we humbly come before Your throne this morning. We just have to take a minute, Father. We just have to stop. Take a breath. Life is so full of stuff. Father, we need to stop and take a breath. Focus our eyes and our mind and our hearts on You. Oh, Father, we just praise You and love You. Father, You love us. And we just, sometimes we don't know how to show that, but Father, we just have to learn to trust You. Father, that's where we want to go this morning. We want to learn to trust You. Father, be with us. Be with me. Open my mouth. Open my heart. Open my mind. That I can speak what You want spoken. Father, in Your precious name we pray. Amen. Cool. You guys have a good week? No? Mine was extremely miserable. Huh? Isn't that terrible? That's terrible. It's extremely miserable. The weekend didn't get any better. Huh? I told the Lord, I said, this sermon You give me to speak, I don't think I can do. So He gave me a week, so I can't preach this sermon today. Is that cool? Yeah. I got a question for you. Today's safety and abiding. That's what I named the sermon today. There's a lot of scripture verses. Julie said, there's a lot of scripture verses. She emphasized that a lot. We'll try to get to all of them. I guess I have a question for you. Opposites. Opposites. What's the opposite of day? Night. What's the opposite of high? What's the opposite of good? Bad, evil. What's the opposite of God? Huh? You know, if you wanted to say Satan, what people would say, but that's not true. And that's not, listen, God has no equal. There is no opposite of God. Satan was a created being by God. He is equal to Michael the archangel. Satan is equal to him. He is not equal to God. Isn't that cool? Don't you get, are you getting this? God has no equal. He has no equal. There's no opposite. He is so awesome. He's so big. He's God. Isn't that cool? He has no opposite. He has no equal. And I want to look first John 4. This is for graduates, but you know, this is for me. Did you notice the song, Trust and Obey? Did you notice the devotion, Trust? Huh? Did you notice that? And I'm sure Julie and Jamie didn't talk, did they? And I know they didn't talk to me about the sermon. Huh? This all ties in. 1 John 4:4 says, little children, you are of God. The Amplified says, you belong to Him and have already defeated and overcame them, the agents of the Antichrist, because He who lives in you is greater, mightier, more awesome than he who is in the world. You've heard that first quote before. Greater is He who is in you than he who is in the world. You've heard that before? Check this out. When a diver goes diving in the ocean, okay, down deep, okay, a couple miles under the ocean, that water pressure is so great, it'll crush you like a bug. Smash you like a bug. So, you get in some kind of a vessel, you know, some kind of charged, pressurized vessel to hold that pressure out so you can go down 2-3 miles under the ocean, that pressure is enormous. Because of the pressure inside, you're not heard. When you go out into the world, Morgan, when you go out into the world, you're going to have some pressure. There's going to be some stuff come against you, and I'm talking from experience. I'm looking at a lot of people that have experienced pressure in the world. And it's easy to conform to the world because that pressure is pretty great. But you know what? You have an internal pressure and the power of the Holy Spirit that equalizes that and overcomes that, because it says He is greater. He's more mighty. He's bigger. He's more awesome. Huh? Than He is in the world. Isn't that cool? That's kind of freeing, isn't it? I'm making a lot of crackling noises. Sorry. Kind of sweaty today. I don't know. Huh? I don't know what's up with that. Anyway, so I wanted to talk to you about that. I guess I'm going to read this. God wants to be more to you than a book on the shelf. God wants to be more to you than theology. God wants to be more to you than anything you have in this world. I don't know, God. I told Barb I would not make any food analogies today, so I'm not going to make any food analogies. So, you know, I'm just going to try to keep that non-hunger item away. I'm just saying, God wants you to know who He is. And how does He do that? How does He do that? Trouble. Problems. Situations. Right? Huh? Like this week, I had a lot of stuff. Huh? And it's like, man, when does this ever stop? Huh? You ever think that? This has got to come to an end. And something else happens. And then something else happens. And then you can't eat because something else happens. What is up with that? God says, you know what? You got to keep your eyes focused on Me. He says, I want you to know who I am. Isn't that awesome? We know who God is. When the troubles come, it's like putting money in the bank. If you don't put any money in the bank and something happens, you got no money to pay for that, right? Bankrupt. If you're putting money in the bank a little bit at a time and something happens, you've got that money to fall back on to pay for those problems, right? It's the same thing with God. You've got to talk to Him every day. You've got to invest in Him every day. You've got to be in His presence every day. You've got to know Him every day. So when the problems come, and then big old every week, God says, I got this one. I got this. And you're like, you know, I know you do. Isn't that cool? Huh? It's kind of freeing to me. I don't know. You guys, I'm thinking, I was studying. This sermon was not going to happen. It was not going to happen. And God says, oh, yes, it is. And I said, okie dokie. Huh? Okie dokie. We're going to go to Hebrews 11. We're on this in this side of the book. We're going to go to Hebrews chapter 11. I want to read you something. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Simple verse. We all know this. These are all verses you know. Okay? Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. All heard that before, right? But what's the rest of that verse say? For whoever would come near to God must necessarily believe that God exists, that He is a rewarder of those who earnestly and diligently seek Him out. How diligently are you seeking out God? I'm talking to myself. How diligently do I seek out God? Went to a couple graduations yesterday, and some of the advice that I gave is, you know, keep the Lord in every decision you make. That's good advice. But, you know, I seen it go, because, you know, when you're young, things going pretty good, right? You know what I'm saying? you're physically pretty good. You know, you're in good shape. You don't have any pains and aches and stuff going on. You know what I'm saying? You're pretty good, right? And at that point, it almost seemed like you don't really need God. You know what I mean? You know He's there. You know. But it says that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. And that really hung on me a little bit because, you know, if God rewards your diligence in seeking Him out, what does that look like? I'm asking, what does it look like? Is that maybe a peace that passes all understanding? I've heard that before. Is that maybe when you're in the middle of a hopeless situation? It's hopeless. My situation is hopeless. I've got the ball. I'm not willing to give it to God. Huh? It's hopeless. I'm going to die. Kill me now, God. Kill me now. Huh? First time I got up on stage to sing, I was thinking that. Just take me now, Lord. Now would be a good time. Out of here. That would be a good time. But He didn't. Because He knew that this dummy would be here today, living his life and serving the Lord. And realizing the power that I have. Realizing the power you have because of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Isn't that cool? And it says God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Pretty cool, huh? Wow, we ain't getting very far, are we? I wrote something down. I like this. We're talking about opposites, right? The opposite of faith is not doubt. The opposite of faith is disobedience. Ooh, that hurts. That hurts. It says without faith it is impossible to please God. Without faith, I would not have made it through this week. I would not. I firmly believe I would not be standing here today. Period. You can take that as any way you want to take it. It's the truth. If I didn't have a trust and belief in God to be able to take care of me and be able to deal with my situations, I would not be here today. Praise the Lord. But He knew you needed to hear this, and so did I. Huh? So let's go on. We're talking about graduates, right? Graduation. And I guess what I want to instill for the graduate and for the rest of us, that God is still on His throne. If you believe that God is strong enough to get you to heaven, if you believe His power is enough to get you to heaven, if you believe that when you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that I'm going to heaven someday, huh? You believe that? Can you believe that same power will sustain you on this life and earth? Amen. Huh? Amen. Let's go back to the Old Testament. We're going to go to the book of Psalms. I like what Jamie read this morning. Psalm 25. It kind of ties right in with this. Psalm 91. We're going to look at Psalm 91. Maybe you've heard this psalm before. I think I might have even talked about it once or twice. I don't know if I've ever preached on it. And I don't know if I'm going to be able to preach on the whole thing today, but Psalm 91 is a really interesting psalm. Psalm 90 starts book 4 of the Psalms. If you look at your Bibles, Psalm 90, and before it'll say book 4, there's actually 5 books of the book of Psalms. They're split up into 5 books. Psalm 90 starts the 4th book. Most believe that Psalm 90 and 91 were written by Moses. Okay? Remember that old guy? The guy with the beard and the Ten Commandment thing? That was him. He wrote these. And most believe that he wrote these two psalms just before, or maybe even during, the 40-year cursed march in the desert of the children of Israel. Wow. Remember what? They didn't believe him. They sent the spies in, and they came back and said, God says, because you don't believe me, you're just going to wander around this desert for the next 40 years until every one of you that didn't believe me is dead, and the next generation that comes up believes me. They believe that Moses wrote this Psalm 90, 91. Psalm 91 and I won't read this whole psalm. There is some stuff in here. Psalm 91 says, verse 6, it says, verse 5, you should not be afraid of the terror of night, nor the arrow or plots by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in darkness, nor the destruction and sudden death that surprises and lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right side, but it won't come near you. Only a spectator shall you be as you witness the reward of the wicked. Wow. Because you have made the Lord your refuge and the Most High your dwelling place. You have made the Lord Most High your refuge and your dwelling place. There shall no evil befall you, or any plague or calamity come near your tent. For he will give his angels charge over you and defend and preserve you in all your ways. They'll bear you up with their hands, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Satan used this to tempt Jesus Christ when he came in the desert for 40 days. This is one of the things he tempted. He was, jump off of this pinnacle. God says the angels will save you. It was misapplied scripture. And he left out in all your ways. Satan is a very worthy adversary. He doesn't do anything new. He knows just exactly who we are. He's been plying his trade for thousands of years. He has perfected it to an art. He comes to you as an angel of light. He says just enough scripture to make it sound good. But in his hand is deceit and death. You have good cheer. Christ said, I have overcome the world, right? So we look at all this stuff, and I could read all this stuff, but I want you to see something here. We know, we looked at 1 John 4:4, God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. In Psalms 91, the first verse says, this whole chapter is contingent on the first two verses. Okay? And I want you to see this, because this is one thing that I struggle with the most, finding time. You guys busy? Got a lot going on? Most of you guys probably kick back, take it easy with a little cool drink, sitting in the candy. Oh, yeah. Most people are that way, I think, right? No, we got so much stuff going on, we ain't got time to sleep. What's up with that? These two verses are contingent on the rest of this chapter. He who dwells, this word for dwells, I had to write this down because I thought it was pretty cool. Means to sit down, obviously, to dwell, to remain, to settle in the sense of taking up a homestead or staking out a claim and resisting all claim jumpers. To possess a place and live there. Do you possess a place and live there in respect to being with God? Wow. And you know, you think, well, that's impossible. That's impossible to do. Yeah, it's hard. But you know, when God's on your mind every hour of the day, no matter what's going on in your life, Verse 1 says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High, and then Brent Amplified says, shall remain stable and fixed under the shadow of the Almighty. And the Amplified said, whose power no foe withstand. He's great! Verse 2, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, my fortress, and my God. On Him I lean and rely. In Him I confidently trust. Let me tell you something. Get that burned into your brain. Get it burned into your brain. You dwell in the secret place, in the Most High. When you're talking to God all the time, you realize when you say, God, how do you pray? Oh, God, protect me. Save me. Keep me good. I had to be. When? Is that how we pray? Sometimes it is. Sometimes we are pathetic. Maybe we should pray, God, you are my refuge. You are my rock. You are my dwelling place. You're my strength, God. God, be with me. Strengthen me. Give me power in this thing that I'm going through. I love you. And I want to show you to others. Come on, praise the Lord. Huh? Do you pray like that? Maybe you should start. I did this week. It's like, yes! Let's get this thing. Oh no, here comes more. Come on, God. Let's get this thing. Oh no, here comes more. Come on, God. Let's do this. Here comes more. God's like, how much can you take? Said he won't give us any more than we can stand, right? Huh? Pretty close this week. Pretty close. But you know what? When you come through that, then I can see this verse and says, you know what? I dwell in the secret place of the Most High. If he takes me home, I'm good. We look at it wrong. If he takes me home, I'm good. Huh? Praise the Lord. Man, Morgan, this is a good verse to remember. Because you're going to have stuff come against you. Just like everybody else. When you have problems, you are a card-carrying member of the human race. Amen. Yeah. You're a card-carrying member. And I want to look at a couple other verses here. Something I want to touch on here too. This kind of hit me when I read this. It says, the Old Testament reveals a God who dwells with his people. First in a tent in the wilderness, and then in Jerusalem, in the temple, right? The New Testament makes this idea of God's dwelling place on earth a giant step farther. By revealing that God wants to dwell not only with his people, he wants to dwell in his people. And when the Bible turns this around to make him our dwelling place, to make him a staked out claim that we got, and nobody's getting in here, this is my land. When the Bible turns around to that dwelling place, it's him. It's almost like a 360. I'm saying, you look at this, it's like I can dwell in his shadow in the power of my God. And my God dwells in me. So when I have bad things come against me, I'm not out there hollering and screaming and cussing and swearing and throwing things. That people, when they do something, throw things at people. You know, when they throw things at people, you know, it shouldn't be happening. But I mean, I'm just saying, see, I could be that guy. Because I'm not a nice person. I've told you this before. I'm not. I'm really not. If it wasn't for God, I wouldn't be. Let's look at a couple other things here. I got a couple verses here, but I want to go to Colossians chapter 3. Don't want to drag this out. Colossians chapter 3. Verses 15 through 17 here. Do you have a life verse, Morgan? I wouldn't put you on the spot that way, but I'm just asking, you know. And some of us have life verses, you know, which is cool. I think I have a lot of life verses. I have more than one that really speaks to me at different times in my life. But Colossians 3, verse 15 says, let the peace, Amplified says, soul harmony, which comes from Christ, rule, act as an umpire continually in your hearts. And the Amplified says, deciding and settling with finality all questions that arise in your minds in that peaceful state. Because you're going to have questions. Holy cow. To which, as members of Christ's one body, you were also called to live. And be thankful, giving praise to God always. Verse 16. Let the word spoken by Christ have its home in your heart and mind and dwell in you in all its richness. Wow. As you teach and admonish and train one another in all insight and intelligence and wisdom. And God's laughing right now because he said, boy, that don't fit you, man, at all. In spiritual things. And as you sing psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, making melody to God with His grace in your heart. Verse 17. And whatever you do, no matter what it is, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus and in dependence upon His person, giving praise to God the Father through Him. Wow. He gets all my glory. He gets all the glory. Everything I do, everything I say, all the things that He gives me, pages of stuff from Him, He gets the glory. Because without Him, I can't do it. Without Him, you can't do it. No, you can't. So, don't stop studying your Bible. Don't stop reading the Word. Don't stop talking to God. And that's for everybody here, including myself. Don't stop. He is a rewarder of those who seek Him. He is. We're going to have a little bit of a special time right now, I think. I think we're going to have Morgan come forward. And I'd like to have Matt and Chris, and if Lindsay and Shelby want to come forward, that's fine too. The elders have a little thing they want to give you here. And we want to pray for you today. We want to lay hands on you today. We want to ask the Lord to give you protection. You guys have come forward. I know nobody likes to be up front. Believe me, I get it. Amen. I guess the sisters aren't coming. Okay. Several things we want you to know, Morgan. If you look out at all these people here, this is your church family. It's always going to be your church family. And they love you. Okay? They love your mom and dad. And don't make me cry, okay, girl? Okay. Praise the Lord. Yeah. We've got a card here for you. And we've got a Bible here for you, a righteous gift. And we want to pray for you this morning. If anybody wants to come forward, we'll grab a circle around these and we'll pray for them. You want to come forward and pray with us? This is not just for us, this is for her. Anybody wants to come forward, you're more than welcome. We'll wait. You want to come forward? We want to pray for Chris and Matt. This is the time for them too. Amen? Yeah. Now you come forward. Praise the Lord. See, I got the microphone, well, you can hear what I'm saying. Yeah. Yes. This is your church family. Okay? Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Father, we lay our hands upon Morgan today, Father. We ask that your love and your mercy and your grace and your power be instilled upon her. She would have a sound mind. She would just love you, Father, because you love her. Father, we just ask this in your precious name. We know she's got a lot of things to come against her, Father, in this life. But with you by her side, we know without a shadow of a doubt, she will be an overcomer. We praise you for that. Father, we just ask a special blessing this morning also upon Matt and Chris, Shelby and Lindsay. Father, they've been lights to Morgan, and I just pray that they will be strength and pillars of hope to her. Father, give them strength. This is a hard time for them. You've been here. You know what it's like. Father, we just ask you just impress your peace upon them. Let them know that you are God. We thank you, Father. We praise you. Father, in your precious name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise team wants to come ahead and come forward. I know it's a little different than normal, but I think this was important. The elders are up front here. We're going to offer our time of invitation. We kind of broke the ice already. You guys have already been up here. Pretty cool, right? So if there's a need you have, a mental need, a spiritual need, a physical need, if you need prayer for something, we want you to come forward this morning. We want to pray for you. This is not any closer than you sitting there to God, but there are some men up here that love you, and they want to pray for you this morning. We'll listen to this song. Thank you. great week this week. Remember, dwell in His presence this week. All right? Have a great week. Praise the Lord.